Now I want to tell you about my number one weakness this morning. My wife is gone for the weekend. She went to Spokane to see our son and spend time with him. And so everything is a little bit off for me today. Amen?
Amen.
It's kind of like a women's retreat this weekend, you know. So whether you know it or not, Hannah's really a behind-the-scenes person that does a lot around here, takes care of a lot of things, and does a lot for me. I really kind of focus on some certain areas, and she does so much behind the scenes. So I'm missing her this morning. And we do need to make sure that we're getting things like prayer cards in the pews and those kind of things taken care of. So that's some of the stuff that we got to all work on together. Would appreciate a lot of help on that. So today we are going to continue in this series that I'm calling the fundamentals of our faith. We're going to talk about obedience today. Obeying God. Now, does anybody want to get up and leave now? Or are you going to stick it out? Okay. Now, obedience is a really good thing. It's not something that we have to dread. I picked this as a fundamental part of the faith because it is important that we obey God. Isn't it? Amen. It is important that we, when we say He's first and we live for Him, that we are obedient to what He commands in our lives. It's not just a free-for-all. Now, we have certain Christian liberties and things that we live by, and we don't live under the Old Testament, Old Covenant, the Old Ceremonial Covenant and things that exist. But we have a God who deserves our respect and our honor and our obedience. Amen? But see, sometimes we get it wrong. We get things kind of backwards. And that's the other thing we got to talk about. We're going to make sure we don't get it backwards, that we don't have it wrong. See, because a lot of times people tend to think that if they obey God, that they're winning His approval, they're winning His favor, they're winning His blessings by the way that they perform and by what they do. If I only obey God, He'll love me more. If I only obey God, He'll bless my business. You know, so they get things in the wrong order. Like, if I obey God, if I do this, He will do that. There's a whole popular movement out there in churches and really big on television. And guess what? It's taken over Africa. When they go down and they send Christians, we think about Christians down in Africa and spreading the gospel. It's called the prosperity gospel, which teaches, you know, if you do this and you obey God and you please God, that God has to bless you materially and physically and do certain things for you. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever seen preaching like that? Have you ever picked up on it on television? It's very big. It's very popular. Why is it so popular? People like what it says. People want to be blessed materially. They want to be blessed physically. It sounds good. It sounds like a good plan. I want my business to be successful. And so I want to obey God and I want to do that. And what I'm here to tell you today is that that's completely backwards. That's not the way it works. That's not reality. That's not the truth. There's a whole different truth about obeying God. And I think if we take some time and we look at about four or five different scripture passages today, and we think about what the Bible is actually saying about the subject of obedience, we could leave here today with a much better framework and a much better understanding about why we obey God. What is it really all about? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Pray with me once more. Heavenly Father, as we talk about obedience, I ask You that You move me out of the way, Lord, that You have the power and freedom to say whatever You want to say to anyone here, Lord. God, if there's some issue, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit needs to touch in our lives and convict us of, I pray that You would do that. And I pray that I would be true to Your Word and that I wouldn't be just bringing my own ideas here, but what I would be teaching today would be from Your Holy Scriptures, Lord. Thank You so much. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's start looking at some of these passages here. To begin with. Okay, so first one I would like you to turn to is Titus. Titus 2, 11 and 12. And you can see I don't have them in exact order. I did this to trick you. Put them in different orders. Because I want to hear your Bible pages turning. Or your Bible app making sounds if you have the sound effects. Never would have thought I'd be saying that 10 years ago. But wouldn't have imagined it. Titus 2, 11 through 14. And And what it says here, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." I read on just a little bit more than what's there. But looking at this passage here, and we're thinking about obedience. So that's the subject. The subject is obedience. So to obey means that you follow and you do what God commands and what's right. And it's a little bit deeper than that. It's deeper than just the outward actions. It really has a lot to do with our heart and how we're receiving that with our heart. Okay, but looking at this and making sure that we have things in the right order, we understand things the right way, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." What is the grace of God? Just the concept of grace is when God pours out His blessing on us for something that we don't deserve. There's not a single one of us here today that deserves God's love and His forgiveness and a relationship with Him and all the good things that He has in store for us. We don't get that because we deserve it. And we should never have that mindset of where we're earning it. That's really not what it's about. That's what grace is. It's like the first thing that we need to understand is that we don't deserve it. And God's ultimate expression of His grace is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming down, condescending Himself to becoming a human being, living a life on this earth, suffering rejection, being despised, being hung on a cross, and taking on sin on Himself, who was the perfect one, and paying our penalty at the cross. That's God's grace given to us. That is our opportunity to really be blessed by God. But it doesn't come by what we do. It doesn't come by our obedience, by our work in that way. It's just completely undeserved that God gives that to us. And that grace of God, in every form of His grace, but especially we see it in the most specific way in Jesus Christ, that grace of God, it says, has appeared, and I think that's God's progressive revelation to the point of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, you know, we're going to see also Him coming back again. We're going to see what God has in store for us after this life. But God's grace has appeared, and I think Jesus Christ, when I read that, bringing salvation for all people. And what this is saying is because of what Jesus did at the cross, every single person on the face of the earth has the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. What matters is what Jesus did, and every single one of us has the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now, that's the best news. That's the most important thing here as we can think about. And that's come, and it's for all people. Now, not all people end up that way, because many people have a hard heart to Jesus and what He did. And they want the world, and they want all the things of the world, and they want to have what they consider fun and good times and go party and do these different things. But they don't really realize that that's just leading to destruction. Okay, God's grace has appeared in Jesus Christ. It's given all people everywhere, every place. No matter what language you speak, no matter what your skin color is, no matter what your socioeconomic background is, no matter if you're a man or a woman, you have the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, when we are in that right relationship, and when we truly understand grace and we accept it, and we have that aha moment, which is the greatest moment that ever exists in our life, which is, aha, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm not okay. I'm not right. I'm not a good dude. I'm a wretched sinner, and I need a Savior. And if I try to pay it myself, what happens is I pay it myself with my own life, and I'm forever separated from God, and I live in hell forever and ever, always. That's what the Bible says. That's not politically correct. That's not the language that you hear. That's not what they want you to say in schools and different places. But that's what the Bible says. All right, and that's what we're being saved by from, and we have to understand that. But when we truly receive His grace, we have faith in Him, we're saved. When that's true for us, when His grace is poured out on us and is accepted in that way, what does it do in our lives? It says it trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I want to ask you guys a question. What comes first, God's grace or our obedience? God's grace is first. We don't get God's grace because we obey. We don't improve God's grace because we obey. God's grace is what teaches us to obey. It trains us. How many of you like to be trained? Any of you training for anything? What are you training for?
Getting a little bit thinner.
Getting what?
Getting a little bit thinner.
Oh, training physically. A little bit fit and thin. Yeah, I like that one. Good. What are you training for?
Training in godliness.
Godliness? Can't beat that. That's.
It mentions in 1 Timothy 4, actually. It's a really good scripture that talks about training in godliness.
It's one that says physical training is of some value, but godliness is of value in every way. Yeah, that's one of my favorite passages because I like to train physically, and that reminds me of that. So training in godliness is a really important thing. Any of you guys in any sports or anything like that? Anybody? Young people sometimes are. I think Annalisa's not here today. She's got a soccer game, right? She's training to be a keeper. You know, just different things, but you know, I value training. I mean, some people train in all kinds of different, in kinds of different disciplines, but this is a spiritual thing, and we are actually trained. That means that if you think about it, it's not something that we just do ourselves. There is someone on the outside that is training us, and it's God through His grace, and what He trains us to do is to be obedient to Him. That would be my short word for all that. But when you look at it, it's to renounce ungodliness, to live an ungodly life. Ungodliness means that you don't consider God. God's not a factor. He's not part of the equation. So we want to renounce that ungodliness. We want God to be part of every decision that we make. Worldly passions, you know, it talks about in the Scripture about how our flesh and the Holy Spirit are at odds against each other. The Holy Spirit desires things contrary to what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to feed itself and wants us to be consumed with passions. And there are many different ones that we can be consumed with, but they all kind of center around us and how we feel and what we consider to be best for us apart from God. He says, no, what grace does is it trains us to not do that. It trains us to live self-controlled. And think about that. That's described as the fruit of the Spirit, to be self-controlled. Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And we live in a pretty interesting present age today, don't we? And there's a lot of godliness in our present age, and there's a lot of decisions and things that are made completely without any care at all for God and what He thinks and what His Word says. And so what we're trying to do here at Elk Plain Community Church is just a local gathering of people here. Is we're trying to say, you know what, in our life first, God's first, His Word is first. We're going to live our life based on what His Word says and who He is and who He says we are and what He says is important. That's what we're going to do. And He's going to be first, all right? But we know that we don't do that to win God's favor. We have God's favor. We have His grace. And because we understand what a sinner it is that we really have been and we really are, and just how far God has brought us and just where He's brought us from and just what He's still doing in our lives and what He's still going to do, because of that, that trains us to be obedient to Him. So we have to have the order right. God's grace, then comes our obedience. Okay, if you look at the end of this passage, what it talks about here, waiting for our blessed hope, that is Jesus coming back again, appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. To redeem is, it's like He comes in and He pays the price that we can't pay. And I think about it. Here's how He did it. Here's what He did. Here's what why we couldn't do it. See, we could pay the penalty for our sins, but then we'll never get to be with God. He paid the penalty for our sins in a way that we never couldn't, where we could, the penalty can be paid and we can be in that right relationship with God forever. That's such a sweet thing there about it. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. So what He's done is He's purified a people. And they're not for themselves. We're not for ourselves. We are for Jesus. We're for Him and for His good pleasure. And in His good pleasure, when He's purified us, what He wants us to be and what He makes, it's not just He wants us to be and He hopes us, but He makes us this, a people that are zealous to do good work for Him. To be obedient. To find those things that He's prepared in advance for us to do. All right, so that's the order we have to think about. So remember, always put grace before obedience. And don't allow yourself to follow the pattern of putting obedience first and thinking you have to earn God's love, His approval, His blessing. All right, it goes a little beyond this. Let's turn to 1 John 5:1-2. That's to your right. And we'll go beyond just 1 and 2 there. So we're going to go up to verse 5. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" All right, now just rolling back and talking about what we just read there. Okay. In the big picture, again, and thinking about what we're talking about obedience. And I want to say that, you know, if you think about being in the world and living the life that we live, we have these enemies, basically, that are trying to pull us away from God and what God wants to do in our lives. Those enemies are the world, our flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Acting against us to try to get us away from God and to prevent us from loving Him and following Him the way that we should and serving Him and spreading the gospel. Okay, so if we are to overcome the world, when we overcome the world, to be overcomers of the world, I want to say that that means that we are saved and we're really living the life that God wants us to live. And we're not ultimately imprisoned by sin and prevented and entangled from really coming to God and coming to the truth. So we need to know who is it that really overcomes, and how can we recognize that in ourselves and see that? Okay? It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is a Christ has been born of God. Everyone. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, meaning the Messiah, the Holy One, the Promised One, He's our Redeemer, He's the one that the Scriptures promised would come, and as we see, God has revealed more and more to understand that He's the Christ, we understand that He died on the cross for our sins, He's our Savior. If you believe that, then you've been born of God, meaning you've been born again. When I was about 22 years old, I went to, I was working, I graduated college, maybe it was 23, somewhere in there, and I was traveling around a little bit, doing some computer demos and different things for the company I worked for. And one day we were having this dinner with the CEO of the company I worked for, and he was like one of those guys, he had his wine in his glass, and he's chewing on his wine and spinning the right, you know, have you ever seen anybody like this? Maybe it's you. I'm sorry if it's you. I don't. It wasn't me. I mean, another side story. The guys told me they would take me out for a steak that I would never forget. So they took me out for a filet mignon. They asked me where I normally went to steak. And I said, I go to Sizzler. And they said, well, we'll take you out for a steak that you'll never forget. And they took me out for this big filet mignon. And I thought it was okay, but I still kind of like Sizzler and that Texas toast that they had and the pineapple and the salad bar and all that stuff. But anyhow, so I'm out with this guy and all these people at the table and all these people that I work for. And somehow the subject came up that I was a Christian. And he goes, this is the CEO, says this to me. He says, oh, are you one of those born again people? And it just really put me on the spot there for a moment, you know, and I'm pretty young at the time and stuff. And I believe I said something along the lines of, well, I don't think there are any other kind of Christians. I don't know. Anyways, interesting moment in my life. But if you believe, if you truly believe, if you have a sincere faith in Christ, you're born again. OK, Okay, that's what makes you born again. To be born again means now His Holy Spirit has entered your life and you're born spiritually. And you're dead to the old you and the old life that you used to live of sin, and you're alive to Jesus and the life that He has for you to be born again. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Okay, and I think that what we see is this really strong connection to if we're born again, that we it's not just that we love God, but that we love everyone else who's born again and we love others. But especially, there's an especial compassion and love for those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's consistent with loving God. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And we can see that, right? Like with our children and different things. How many of you have children and you want your children to love each other? And if they don't love each other and they don't get along and they don't treat each other right, who does it hurt? It hurts you, doesn't it? And it's a painful thing. And so it's the same way with God. Like we as His children, if we love Him, we're going to love each other. We're going to love those who are born of God and support each other and help each other. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey His commandments. So if we're going to love each other and love those who are born of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, how is it that we do that? It's not just a feeling. Again, it's not just a feeling that we have, but it's obedience. We obey His commandments. You know, you look at it. We treat people the way God wants us to treat, the way He commands us to treat them. We live in the truth. That's being obedient to Him. That's loving somebody. Okay, no, loving somebody is not just merely like accepting them and saying, you're okay just how you are, and do whatever you want to do. No, it's in spirit, it's in truth. Remember, we talked about what true love was. We talked about that. If you haven't heard that, you can get that online and listen to what I had to say there, what the Scripture says. Okay, but this is how we know that we're children of God when we love God and we obey His commandments. We should actually see love for others, and we should see obedience and wanting what's right for other people in our lives as we grow as Christians, if we're truly in the faith. Truly being in the faith leads to obedience. Okay, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Okay, that could be the whole sermon right there. Think about that's the love of God, that we obey Him, that we keep His commandments. And it's stated, I'm going to give you another verse, which is stated in a similar way. But these things go hand in hand. God's love for us, pour down on us, our understanding of that, our love for Him, our love for our brothers and sisters, okay, those things we see are the things, they're like the impetus and what causes us and what leads us to obey Him. And when we obey Him, we're doing that, that really is loving. Okay, so those things are so closely connected. And then His commandments are not burdensome. And we have, as a sinful people, we tend to think about things that we're not supposed to do or we're called not to do as a burden. No, we want to do this other thing, God. We want to go this way. And we can oftentimes think about it as a burden in our life. But His commandments and what He says is not at all a burden. Like, for instance, like if God says that we are not to have sex outside of marriage, that is exclusively for marriage, that God has a particular thing that He calls sexual morality, and He says, here's how it is, and we follow that, it or not, it's one of the two ways, but that is given, that's His commandment, here's a standard, here's what He says. If we follow that, it's an amazing blessing. And it's never a burden. But what happens? People are impatient and people think of it as a burden. And people get into all kinds of different things, all kinds of different sexual immorality and different things because they look at God's commandment as a burden, as a hindrance, as stopping them from doing something they want to do. And I say them, let's say us, just in general, as a people, just all of us. Let's all throw ourselves into that position and know. And whether it be sexual morality or be some other thing, God has standards. He gives things to live by. And oftentimes, we look at them as a burden. I mean, I used to look at it when my parents said, okay, you need to be home by midnight. Really? What a burden. I'll be home by midnight. And now as I've gotten older and I read the paper, what do I see? All that? Man, people getting shot and killed all the time about 2 a.m. Why, you know, and I don't know. I mean, my parents could have said I had to be home at 2 a.m., but, you know, I thank my parents for giving me those boundaries in my life and those guidelines and to get me safe and to help me to be alive here and to be here today with you, okay? So God's commandments are never a burden. They're always what's really best for us and what's really good. Even if it's what we don't want to do. Even if it's not what our flesh wants to do. Do you know that the average man would, in his flesh, probably like to just use his eyes in a bad way to look at all kinds of women around him and different things and look at them in ungodly ways. That's normal. That's average. Right? But just because that's how we're born, that doesn't mean that's what God wants for us. You understand what I'm saying? We have sin in us and our flesh desires sins and it desires things that are contrary to the Spirit. Okay, so going back to this, the love of God is that we keep His commandments and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's going to be the ultimate sign that we are really truly born of God, is that we overcome the world. Now, who is it that ultimately really overcomes the world, and how is it that you overcome the world? It says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it's really our faith that overcomes the world. Obedience kind of follows along with that. So when we truly have faith, obedience gets brought along. We gain that obedience. We have that. God grows. He trains us for that, like we said. Okay? And then looking at this, who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that really is going to ultimately be the overcomers except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So again, faith first, obedience comes later. Faith is a cause for obedience. There's a connection between faith and obedience. Alright, now let's look at it in this passage. We see it in this passage. It says, this is at the very end of Romans, the doxology in Romans. It says, now to Him who is able to strengthen you. Oh yeah, by the way, Romans 16:25, if you want to turn along. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the phrase I have underlined here is the obedience of faith. It's not that faith is a work. That's not what it means. But what I really believe that it means is that when we truly have faith, there's true obedience that comes with it. Amen. Obedience is the byproduct of really having faith and really having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's an obedience of faith. Now, here's another passage. This is probably the longest one, John 14:15. I'm not going to really go into great detail on everything in here, but it's very similar in some ways to the 1 John passage that we looked at already. John 14:15. And here is what it says. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Cause is that you love him. The effect is that you keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I know for some of you guys who are carrying King James, it actually says it a little bit differently in that first verse. I think it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, but the exact same way that I read it out of the ESV here in the King James is also said later on down in the passage. So I think the way that I understand this, he's saying, if you truly love me, if you love me, this is what happens. You'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and He's saying right now, the Holy Spirit's been with you, and there's coming a time when He's going to indwell you and He's going to live in you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. And just, you know, this is Jesus talking. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And again, so this is the second place he says it in that same way. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, if we're talking about being obedient, he it is who loves me. So he can see, he can look out and see. God can basically look out and see who loves him. Now, he doesn't have to do it this way. I mean, but like if you just look at it, and we can see that our obedience is intimately connected with our love for God. And if we love God, we obey Him. And he says, again, I'll read that verse again. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And your translation may say, show, manifest. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How is it, Jesus, that you're going to show yourself to the world? Well, you're going to show yourself to the world by those who love you, who love Jesus, and Jesus comes and makes his home in us, and then we go and we show the world by being obedient to him and loving him and serving him. They can see that in us. Okay? But we have to remember, though, we can't say that it's our obedience first, that, you know, he comes and lives in us if we obey him. We see that that's not the case. All scripture, but we know that these things are connected. So if God truly is in our life, if we truly have a genuine faith with him, that leads to our obedience. You see that? Okay. We have to look at the other side of it too. Though Jesus said, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So just like we say, if a person loves God, they keep his commandments. They're obedient to him. I don't mean they're perfect. I'm not saying they're perfect. They don't struggle with sin. But that's the direction of their life. If a person does not love God, then that person does not keep his commandments. They despise God's commandments and they reject them and they go a completely different direction. But it comes from whether or not they love God or not. Whether or not they have faith in Him. Those are the things that are the cause. Let's see if I go on a little further. Okay. All right, so we have another passage we're going to look at here. And this is cool right here. I love when this happens. This is the verse of the day on Bible Gateway. So, you know, what I tend to do is I get these passages and I think about what they say and how they apply and I get it all together and I'm wrestling with them a lot throughout the week and thinking about what the message is going to be. And this week I'm spending all my time thinking about the connection between love and obedience and how, you know, love is really the faith and love and grace is really the initiative, what causes our obedience. And I decided, well, I'm going to read some passages. And I pull up my Bible Gateway. It's the website on the computer. And I pull it up. Verse of the day. This is the verse of the day. And I think, wow, that needs to be brought into the sermon. It just really totally fits. It really sums it up. It says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. This word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So what's the one word he's talking about there? Love, L-O-V-E, love. And you see how this is connected to last week as we talked about what love really is, what true biblical love is. And so that is the fulfillment of the commandments. And so like when we, if we love our neighbor, we want what's best for them. We obey God's word. If we love our family, same thing. We obey. We're obedient to God. That's how we love each other. That's the most important way, all right? So just a little recap, okay, on what we saw in the scripture and maybe what we learned here today. about obedience. And obedience is very important. It is, we should all want to be obedient children of God. Obedience. But remember, obedience doesn't earn God's favor. So if you've been watching any of these shows on television and thinking about things backwards and thinking that if you only do enough good for God, He's just going to do enough good for you, reverse your thought and remember God's already done it. He's already poured out so much grace. It's almost so much available there. We just have to receive it. Okay, but that comes first. Obedience comes second. Just like I say here. Grace first. And what it does is it teaches or it trains us for obedience. And we want to be trained for this. Are any of you still writing this down? I see a couple of pens moving and things, so I'll give you just a moment here. I could also kind of, in my mind, I just picture it a little bit as a picture. Grace, then obedience. Maybe with an arrow or something there. Grace, then obedience. Okay, love, then obedience. Love leads to obedience. Remember that. If we love God, we will obey Him. If we love God, we obey God. If we love and obey God, we love the children of God, and so we obey God. Again, love leads to obedience. And then in that Romans verse, how it said, obedience is love. How is it that you love? You obey. That's really loving somebody. Remember, love's not just a feeling. Love is action. Love is what we do. Love is our willingness to give of ourselves, to pay the price, to do it gladly, not expect anything in return. And then obedience. You know, if we don't obey, if we have areas in our life where we're really not obeying God, what that is it's really a heart issue. Our heart's not in the right place. We're not really loving God the way we should. There's a faith issue. There's something going on, but it's really a heart issue. It's deep in us. Okay, just two more here. Remember again, you know, how this ultimately works. There are all these things that are before obedience. All these things that cause us to be obedient. That are the real issue. When I say there's a heart issue for not obedient, there's a heart issue. Okay, this could be one of them. That faith, true faith in Christ, leads to obedience. Okay, so if we can continually be disobedient and turn our back on God and go the opposite direction, then what we might really truly have is not an obedience issue, but a faith issue. Amen. And that's a very significant, important thing. Now, remember, because faith is what makes us overcome the world. That's what makes us overcomers. Not obedience doesn't make us an overcomer. That's why I want to make this perfectly clear. Like if somebody's telling you, okay, you know, you overcome by just keep looking within yourself and figuring out what all the bad things are wrong with you and have some discipline and quit doing those and battle your flesh and then you overcome. That's not really the recipe for being an overcomer. The recipe is to have faith in Christ. And then He does that through you. Now, the last thing I want to say this is obedience is always 100% every time what's best for us. Whether we feel it or not, whether we want to do it or not, in light of eternity, in light of God, in light of everything, being obedient to Him is always the best choice. Always. Even if it's not popular, even if it's not acceptable in culture, whatever, being obedient to Him is the best choice. Now, just one final thing for you here. One last thing, okay? To make this as personal as possible. Nope. I guess I don't. I didn't type it in. But we're going to roll with it anyways, because I know what I wanted to say here. Okay? That last thing is asking God to examine your life, to examine your heart, and show you if you've got a hard issue in some areas of obedience, if there's some area in your life where you are really not showing yourself to love God, you've become disobedient. You have been maybe continually been disobedient. You know, you let yourself get away with things that you shouldn't let yourself get away with. That it's not okay what you're doing. Ask God to show you those areas and to be open to changing in those areas and asking Him to teach you how to love Him in that way. So I would say that you should never come to a sermon like this and leave without doing some real reflecting in your life and not thinking that, oh, it's all those other disobedient people that this is talking about. But that I'm disobedient lots of times, and that when I'm being disobedient, I'm not loving God. And I have a heart issue. So please show me, God, what that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your grace and Your goodness that's just poured out on us. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to just freely accept that and not get it backwards and not think that we earn that in any way. And that Your Holy Spirit and Your goodness and Your love in us would then train us to obey You and follow You. Thank You so much for that. Just pray that we all leave here encouraged and we all see just what it is You want us to do with our lives. Thank You so much. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.